The full moon lit Ye Shan's path as she crept down to the riverbank. She walked slowly, carefully, but not because she was afraid of tripping in the dark. She was afraid of waking the sleeping monster. But even the full moon couldn't illuminate everything. As she tiptoed down the path, Ye Shen accidentally stepped on a dry twig. The breaking twig might as well have been a tree crashing in the forest. Ye Shen snapped her head back at the house behind her. The windows were still dark. She held her breath, praying she wouldn't see the light of a lantern flicker to life. Thankfully, the windows stayed dark. Breathing a sigh of relief, Ye Shen continued down to the riverbank. The magical fish was there waiting for her, silver moonlight glinting off his scales. He called out to Ye Shen,
"There you are! It feels like I've been waiting for hours!"
Ye Shen knelt down by the water and playfully splashed him.
"Shh, not so loud. You'll wake my stepmother."
The fish laughed.
"That old hag? She could sleep through an earthquake."
But he was wrong. Ye Shen's stepmother was all too awake, and she didn't like it when her stepdaughter kept secrets from her. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Parcast original. Every other Saturday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. To stream Tales for free on Spotify, just open the app and type Tales in the search bar. The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of Cinderella features murder and violence. Please exercise caution for children under 13. At Parcast, we're grateful for you, our listeners. You allow us to do what we love. Let us know how we're doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. And if you enjoy today's episode, the best way to help us is to leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening. It really does help. Today's episode is the story of Ye Shen, a Chinese folktale first recorded around 850 CE, which many believe is one of the earliest versions of Cinderella. An evil stepmother, a fairy godmother, a glass slipper. These elements are the hallmarks of the story of Cinderella. It's one of the most popular fairy tales in the world. In 1883, English folklorist Marion Rolfe Cox published a book with 345 different variants of this classic story, such as the Russian Chernushka and the Norse Katie Woodencloak. The version I'll be telling today is the story of Ye Shen, which was first written down by the Chinese writer Duan Chengxi in the 9th century. Many folklore scholars agree that Ye Shen is the first complete tale that bears all the signature elements of the Cinderella story we're familiar with today. But this version contains details you would never expect. Long, long ago, on the southern coast of China, a village chief named Wu lived with his two wives, Mei and Li. Mei was a nurturing woman. She constantly reminded her husband to put his people's well-being before his own, whereas Li was cold and calculating, always looking for new opportunities for Wu to gain more power. The two women did not get along. Wu had two daughters, one with each of his wives. Mei's daughter, Ye Shen, was kind, gentle-hearted, and smart as a whip, just like her mother. Unfortunately, Li's daughter, Jun Li, was also just like her mother. Jun Li was mean-spirited and petty. She was jealous that the other children all liked Ye Shen better than her and spent every waking moment trying to humiliate her half-sister. Although Jun Li could be a thorn in her side, Ye Shen's childhood was happy and relatively carefree. During the day, she would splash and play in the coastal shallows. Sometimes she and the other children would venture inland along one of the many peaceful rivers that led to the mountains. Every night she went to bed with a belly full of delicious food, cuddled up next to her mother. Life was perfect. Until it wasn't. One day when Ye Shen was a young child, she was playing by the riverbank with some of her friends. As the sun started to set, her companions ran back to the village. They had to help their parents prepare dinner. But Ye Shen didn't have to go home just yet. They had servants to help make dinner. She could stay for another few minutes. As she skipped stones across the water, Ye Shen heard a rustle in the overgrown bushes on the opposite bank. Ye Shen took a tentative step into the water. She wanted to see what the commotion was. She thought she saw beady eyes staring at her from between the leaves. Thinking it was an animal that had gotten lost, she drew closer. Back at home, May glanced out the window. The sun had set and there was still no sign of Ye Shen. May was getting worried. She knew her daughter liked to linger by the river, but she was always home before dark. May lit a lantern and headed toward the water. For good measure, she grabbed a knife on her way out. Her husband, Wu, was a skilled warrior and had taught May how to use it. She prayed she wouldn't have to. As she walked down the path, May called into the darkness,
"Ye Shen? Ye Shen, are you there?"
A moment later, she heard her daughter's voice just beyond the lantern light.
"I'm over here, Mother, behind the bushes."
May's instincts screamed that something was wrong, but she kept moving towards her daughter's voice. Suddenly, a rough pair of hands grabbed May from behind, covering her mouth and grabbing the knife from her hand before she could cry out. A gravelly voice whispered into her ear,
"Don't struggle now. We don't want to hurt you."
May gagged as the man's foul breath washed over her. She felt the cold metal of her own knife against her throat. A bearded man dressed in the style of a local mountain clan stepped out from the foliage. He held Ye Shen in one hand and a sword in the other. He said,
"Your daughter is quite talkative. She tells me you're married to the chief. Give us all your money and we might just let you live."
May took in a deep breath. The next few moments were critical. Although the bandits had her pinned, she had the advantage. The bandits still thought she was just a helpless woman. She had to act before they could put their guard up. Quick as a flash, May twisted the man's wrist and broke away from his grasp. Before he even knew what was happening, she snatched the knife from his hands and stabbed him in the heart. He was dead before he hit the ground. Wu had also taught his daughter a thing or two. Ye Shen bit her captor in the arm, forcing him to release her. The moment she was free, Mei charged at him. She collided with the burly man, knocking the sword from his hands and carrying them both into the river. Mei was fast, stabbing her opponent several times. But the bandit was tougher than his partner. As the river ran red, he threw May off of him and pinned her under the water.
May struggled to pry the bandit's hands off of her, but he was too strong. As she felt the strength leaving her body, May could think of only one thing: Ye Shen. Her last thought was the desperate hope that she had bought her daughter enough time to escape. Her strength left her altogether, and a wave of suffocating water filled her lungs. Ye Shen hadn't run. She was paralyzed with fear, watching the horrible scene unfold. Once Mei had stopped moving, the bandit struggled to his feet and picked up his sword from the riverbank. He took a step towards Ye Shen, and then another. Ye Shen looked down. Her mother's knife had washed up at her feet. With trembling hands, she reached down and picked it up. The bandit swung his sword, but the loss of blood slowed him down. Ye Shen ducked his blow and slammed Mei's knife into his chest. The bandit fell back into the river. This time, he didn't get up. Ye Shen dropped the knife and ran to her mother. With her long hair floating around her and the moonlight casting a luminous glow on her face, Mei almost looked like one of the eight immortals. But she wasn't immortal. She was dead. It was an image Ye Shen would never forget. When Wu found out what happened, he fell into an inconsolable sadness. As he prepared to light incense for Mei at the family shrine, Li came to him. There was a strange glint in her eyes. She looked hungry.
"You cannot let this horrific deed go unpunished," she told him. "If you do, other clans will think you're weak. You have to destroy the people who sent those bandits. They took Mei from you. Now, take everything from them."
Her words stirred a deep anger that had been building inside Wu. He rose to his feet in a cold rage. The incense in his hand dropped to the floor, forgotten. He looked to Li and nodded.
"We will march tomorrow."
The next morning, Ye Shen accompanied Wu to the village square to see him off. As she watched her father confer with his second-in-command, Chan, Ye Shen was overcome with fear. With tears streaming down her face, she hugged Wu tightly.
"Please, father, don't go. I don't want to lose you, too."
Wu gave a mournful smile and knelt down next to his daughter. He gently wiped her cheeks.
"I know it's scary, Ye Shen, but I need to make sure these men never try to hurt you again."
He pulled a fish-shaped pendant from his neck and gently placed it in Ye Shen's hands. He told her,
"This belonged to your mother. Keep it safe for me."
He kissed the top of her head, stood up, and motioned for Chan to bring him his spear.
"Move out, men!" he shouted. "Today, we deliver justice!"
Clutching the necklace, Ye Shen watched them go with a heavy heart. Her stepmother, Li, grabbed her by the shoulder in a vice-like grip.
"Don't be so dramatic," she said, a stony expression on her face.
"He'll be back before you know it."
A week later, Ye Shen sat at home, staring glumly out the window. She wanted to go play with her friends, but Li had forbidden it. Apparently, it wasn't appropriate for a lady of her station. Ye Shen's ears pricked up as she heard a distant horn. It was the signal of her father returning. Ignoring Li's protestations, she dashed out of the house and ran to the village square. She grasped Wu's pendant, hanging on her neck.
She couldn't wait to see his face when he found out she had kept it safe for him. But as the soldiers arrived, Wu was nowhere to be seen. Ye Shen was confused. He always rode out in front. Li arrived as the last soldiers marched into the square. Wu wasn't among them. His lieutenant, Chan, walked up to Li, a grim expression on his face.
"We defeated the Mountain Clan, my lady, but it came at a terrible cost. Chief Wu fell in the fighting."
Upon hearing his words, Ye Shen's knees buckled. "Stay strong," she whispered to herself. "Stay strong." But she couldn't. She had lost her mother. She had lost her father. And as she looked to Li, she didn't see any warmth radiating from her stepmother. She only saw anger. Coming up, Ye Shen faces a harsh new reality. And now, back to the story. Ye Shen's life had taken a turn for the worse. Every morning, she awoke to Li's harsh voice piercing through the darkened house.
"Wake up, you lazy girl! We need firewood!"
Ye Shen groaned and rose from her tiny cot. 2 long years had passed since the death of her parents, and each day since had been filled with misery. Because Wu had died without a male heir, his second-in-command, Chan, had become the village chief. Although he was kind, Chan didn't have room in his household for the remnants of Wu's family, Ye Shen, Li, and Li's daughter, Jun Li. Wu had left them with some money, but Li didn't have enough skills to supplement their income. Forced to live on their meager savings, the three women had no choice but to move to a tiny shack by the river, pressed up against the side of a mountain. Even though Li had been the one who encouraged Wu to go to war with the Mountain Clan, she placed the fault squarely on Ye Shen's shoulders. After all, she claimed, if Ye Shen hadn't stayed out late that night, her mother never would have been murdered, and Wu never would have gone to war. Li told Ye Shen this over and over, and she never let her forget it. Ye Shen's half-sister, Jun Li, wasn't any better. After losing her lofty station as the chief's daughter, Jun Li had only become even nastier. She mercilessly forced Ye Shen to attend to her every desire, and Li didn't stop her. For Ye Shen, every day was the same recurring nightmare. Wake up before the crack of dawn, gather firewood, cook breakfast, clean the shack, wash the clothes, gather more firewood, prepare dinner, do the dishes. It was a monotonous, dreary existence. The only solace Ye Shen had were the brief moments she could steal to go down to the river. Even though it was a harsh reminder of her mother's death, it was the only place Ye Shen could go to escape Li's oppressive household. One day, as Ye Shen sat by the riverbank, she heard a loud splash. She jumped back. Ever since the bandits had kidnapped her, loud noises made Ye Shen nervous.
"I'm sorry, I didn't mean to startle you," a gentle voice said.
Ye Shen looked around, but didn't see anyone.
"Down here," the voice called out.
She looked at the river. A large, sparkling koi fish was looking back at her.
"Hello there."
Ye Shen was speechless. Was a fish really talking to her?
"Generally, the polite thing to do is say hello back."
Ye Shen's eyes bugged out of her head. She started to slowly back away from this abomination. It pleaded,
please, don't be scared, Ye Shen.
Composing herself, Ye Shen looked down at the fish suspiciously.
How do you know my name?
She asked. The koi's lips parted in the fish equivalent of a grin.
Your mother has been watching you from the heavens. Mei saw how badly Li and Jun Li have been treating you and sent me to be your friend. If you're ever feeling blue, come see me and I'll cheer you right up.
The fish punctuated his sentence with an acrobatic flip. When he fell back into the river, the water splashed onto Ye Shen. She couldn't help but giggle.
See? It's already working,
the fish exclaimed. The magic koi was true to his word. As the years passed and Ye Shen grew into a beautiful young woman, the fish was there for her every step of the way. Whenever she needed cheering up, he would be at the riverbank waiting for her. Whether she needed someone to talk to or simply a shoulder to cry on, in a manner of speaking, he would always help raise her spirits. One night, after a particularly challenging day, Ye Shen decided to pay the fish a visit. The hour was late, but the full moon would illuminate her path. And besides, he was a magic fish. Ye Shen was sure he didn't need a full night's sleep. As Ye Shen slipped out of the shack, Li's eyes snapped open. She had known for quite some time that her stepdaughter liked to sneak off in the middle of the night. She assumed it was to rendezvous with a young man, and Li wouldn't stand for that. She hurried down the path after her stepdaughter. Li hid behind the bushes as she watched Ye Shen reach the water. It looked like she was talking to someone, although Li couldn't see who. She wondered if her stepdaughter had gone mad. But then she saw the moonlight glint off of the koi's scales. Ye Shen was talking to a fish, and it was talking back. Li's eyes widened in shock. This was even worse than if Ye Shen had a suitor. She had a magical companion. If Ye Shen wanted to take revenge against Li and Jun Li for their cruelty, surely this magic fish would be able to help her do it. But Li was nobody's fool. She knew the value of a preemptive strike. The next morning, Li woke Ye Shen, but instead of instructing her to go gather firewood, she told Ye Shen to go down to the sea to fetch some salt water for a foot bath. The moment she was gone, Li growled at Jun Li to watch the door. The last thing she needed was Ye Shen to come back in and figure out what they were doing. Li grabbed a spare set of her stepdaughter's clothes and slipped them on. Before heading out the door, she grabbed the knife that had once belonged to Wu's other wife, Mei. As she approached the riverbank, Li called out, doing her best imitation of Ye Shen's voice.
Oh, magic fish! It is I, Ye Shen. Are you there?
The fish popped his head out of the water. Li grinned fiendishly. He may be magic, but she guessed he didn't have the best eyesight.
Of course I'm here, Ye Shen. What do you need?
Li told him to close his eyes. She said she had a surprise for him. The fish obeyed, screwing his eyes tightly shut. She didn't give him time to flee. Later that day, Ye Shen finally returned from her morning chores. As she hurried up the path, she was careful not to spill any of the salt water she had gathered. She didn't know what would make Li angrier, being late or not having enough water. When Ye Shen got home, she was surprised to find Li waiting outside, a big smile on her face. She said,
"Here, Ye Shen, let me help you with that. You must be so tired."
Ye Shen eyed Li with suspicion, but she wasn't about to turn down a good thing. She carefully set down her water buckets and stretched her back. Suddenly, a delicious scent filled her nose. It was the most enticing aroma Ye Shen had ever smelled. Li laughed.
"Don't look so surprised, stepdaughter. I still know my way around the kitchen. Come, I've prepared us all a meal."
Ye Shen followed her stepmother into the shack. Jun Li was already sitting at the table. A covered plate sat on top of it. Whatever was under it smelled amazing. Ye Shen's stomach rumbled as she sat down across from her half-sister. But the moment Li lifted the plate's cover, Ye Shen lost her appetite. Li was serving koi. Ye Shen recognized her friend's head on the plate. It felt like his cold, dead eyes were staring into Ye Shen's very soul. She tried to get up and run away, but Li held her down.
"So you thought you could hide your little secret from me, did you? Nothing gets by me, you hear me? Nothing!"
With Li forcing her to sit, Ye Shen had no choice but to watch as Jun Li gleefully devoured the magic fish, piece by piece. She even ate the head, popping the koi's eyeballs into her mouth as if they were berries. Soon, all that was left of Ye Shen's heavenly companion was a pile of bones. Finally, Li released Ye Shen from her grasp.
"Clean this up. I'm taking Jun Li down to shop for tomorrow's New Year festival. I expect there to be dinner for us when we get back."
The two women laughed and walked out of the room, leaving Ye Shen alone with the remains of her murdered friend. She wanted to cry, but found there was no sadness left within her, only anger. She had lost everyone who had ever loved her, first her mother, then her father, now the magic fish. Ye Shen looked down at the fish-shaped pendant Wu had given her so many years ago. She was done keeping it safe for him. She ran outside and threw it as far as she could. But when she went back inside, it was sitting there on the table. She looked at the necklace in confusion. As she reached for it again, a voice spoke from a shadowy corner.
"I know you didn't really want to get rid of that."
Ye Shen's head snapped toward the sound. A wizened old man sat there, a benevolent smile on his face. She asked him,
"Who are you?"
He gave a small laugh.
"I've seen you've grown used to unexpected visits. I am Yao, one of your ancestors. Your mother and I were very sorry to see what happened to the magic koi."
But Ye Shen wasn't in the mood for games.
"Tell me what you want, Yao," she snapped.
He nodded and cut straight to the point.
"Don't worry. I come from the heavens bearing good news. Your fishy friend's body may have been destroyed, but his soul lives on. If you bury his bones in each corner of your room, you'll be able to use his powers to grant yourself one wish."
Ye Shen regarded him with suspicion.
"How do I know I can trust you? What if you're just another one of Li's cruel tricks?"
The old man shrugged.
"I guess you can't."
Before Ye Shen could reply, he slowly started to dissolve into the air. The last thing she saw before he completely vanished was his mischievous smile. Ye Shen sat there for a moment, contemplating what the old man had told her. No matter how tricky Li was, there was no way she could have made the old man disappear like that. He must have been telling her the truth. Moving quickly, Ye Shen buried the fish's bones in every corner of the room, exactly as the old man had instructed. Just as she was covering the last pile, she heard Li and Jun Li coming up the path. There was no mistaking their grating laughter. Ye Shen quickly stood up. She finished brushing the dirt off her skirt just as the two women entered. Jun Li proudly showed off the dress Li had bought her.
Too bad you won't be able to go, Ye Shen. Mother has quite the list of chores for you to finish while I go to the festival tomorrow.
Li looked around, an annoyed expression on her face.
I see you didn't make any dinner. You weren't up to anything while we were gone, were you?
Her eyes narrowed in suspicion, but she didn't notice the artfully hidden bones. Li shook her head in disgust.
You lazy, good-for-nothing sack of bones. Make Jun Li and me some rice. Then it's off to bed for you.
Ye Shen gladly obliged. As she went to sleep, her empty stomach was the last thing on her mind. All she could think about was what she was going to wish for. She was going to the festival, and Li wouldn't be able to do anything about it. Coming up, Ye Shen makes her wish and undergoes a transformation. And now, back to the story. After her ancestor Yao visited Ye Shen, she began to think about her wish. Ever since her parents had died, Ye Shen's stepmother Li and half-sister Jun Li had made her life a living nightmare. But now, they couldn't stop her from having just one night of happiness. The day of the New Year festival, Ye Shen watched as Li and Jun Li took hours to prepare themselves. Once they had finished applying their makeup and readying their gowns, Li gave Ye Shen an overwhelming list of chores. The chores were designed to keep Ye Shen busy all day to ensure that she missed the festival. But Ye Shen had a trick up her sleeve that her stepmother was unaware of. She had reserved a magic wish, granted to her by the bones of her old fish friend. The second the other two women stepped out the door, Ye Shen closed her eyes. She wished with all her might to be able to attend the festival. A long moment passed as she waited for the wish to take hold. Ye Shen opened one of her eyes. Nothing had changed. Her shoulders slumped in disappointment. She reached for the broom to resume her chores. But then, the tiny shack exploded with activity. The broom floated away from Ye Shen's hand and started sweeping by itself. The dishes flew towards the wash basin. A scrub brush, already frothing with soap, reached up to meet them. Within moments, the shack was cleaner than it had ever been. And then the magic began to work on Ye Shen. She was encompassed by a warm, glowing light. When it faded, her dirty shirt was replaced by a beautiful silk dress, adorned with soft kingfisher feathers, delicate gold slippers shining like the magic koi's scales appeared on her bare feet. Ye Shen ran down the path to examine her reflection in the river. She could scarcely believe her eyes. She looked beautiful. She looked happy. Ye Shen smiled. It was time to celebrate. Ye Shen heard the festival before she saw it. She could hear the thunderclap of fireworks, a sound she hadn't heard since she attended the festival as a child with her parents. There were people talking, laughing, living. She quickened her pace. She couldn't get there fast enough. As she walked through the crowd, Ye Shen noticed everyone's eyes turning toward her. She wondered if she had done something wrong. Suddenly, she was surrounded by a mob of young men. Ye Shen braced herself for an attack, but the men simply held out their hands. They wanted to dance. For the next few hours, Ye Shen barely had a chance to catch her breath. The moment one dance ended, there was another suitor eager to spend some time with her. None of the men seemed to recognize Ye Shen as the former chief's daughter, and that was fine with her. If Li caught wind that Ye Shen was there, the punishment would be severe. As the hour grew late, Ye Shen found herself face to face with the most handsome man she had ever seen. His long hair was finely braided, accenting his strong jaw. He smiled at her and held out his hand. She smiled back. Soon they were moving in complete synchronization to an elaborate court dance. Although the courtyard was crowded with happy couples, Ye Shen felt like she and this mysterious man were the only two people in the world.
"I've been trying to dance with you all night," he said, "but every time I got close, it seemed like you were surrounded by three different men."
Ye Shen grinned. "And they proved to be too formidable to overcome?" The man shook his head and laughed.
"No, I was just waiting for them to get tired, so I could have you all to myself. My name's Han. What's yours?"
Ye Shen opened her mouth, but before she could reply, a gong rang out. The festival was over for the night. Ye Shen's heart fluttered with panic. She had lost track of time. If she didn't get home before Li and Jun Li, there'd be hell to pay.
"I'm sorry," she told Han. "I have to go."
She turned from him and sprinted from the festival grounds. She was in such a hurry, she lost her slipper and didn't stop to pick it up. Han was stunned. He tried to run after the mysterious woman, but he lost her in the crowd. He stood amidst the throng of happy couples, a miserable expression painted on his face. Somehow, he knew deep in his heart that this woman was the love of his life, but he'd never even gotten her name. As he trudged out of the festival grounds, a glint of light caught Han's eye. It was the woman's golden slipper. He knelt down and picked it up. It was so intricate, so specifically shaped, that it must have been made for her foot and her foot alone. Another man ran up to him.
"King Han, is everything all right?"
Han looked at the other man, a smile spreading across his face.
"I've never been better. Get ready. Tomorrow, we start the search of our lives."
Starting the next day, King Han and his men traversed the land in search of the mystery woman. They had only shared one dance, but Han knew it was true love. She was so beautiful, so breathtaking. He couldn't bear the thought of anyone else being his wife. First, they went to all the other nearby kingdoms. Surely, Han thought, such a delicate flower must be a royal princess. But none of them fit the slipper. Next, they tried the local nobles. Even if the beautiful girl wasn't a princess, she still carried herself with a refined air. There was no way she wasn't part of the aristocracy. But once again, none of the noble women fit the slipper. Finally, King Han went to the outlying villages. Maybe she was the daughter of a chief. No luck. By this point, the search had been going on for months. Han and his men had just finished canvassing one of the seaside villages. None of its women had fit the slipper. They had more villages to check, but Han needed a drink. He headed to a river just outside the town and splashed some water in his face. As he drank from the stream, Han noticed a small shack down a wooded path. he could see a young woman sitting outside. His heart fluttered as he did a double take. He couldn't be sure, but she did bear a resemblance to the girl who had stolen his heart with just a single dance. Surely she couldn't be this lowly-looking peasant girl, but he had to find out. Upon his approach, a severe older woman walked out of the shack. Upon seeing Han, her ugly, angry face darkened in annoyance.
"What do you want?" she snapped.
Despite her rudeness, Han smiled and waved.
"Hello, ma'am. I was passing by and I couldn't help but notice this young woman sitting by the door here. I was wondering if she was at the New Year's festival a few months ago."
Once she noticed Han's fine clothing, the older woman's face lit up.
"Of course she was, weren't you, daughter?"
The girl nodded eagerly. Han grinned. Now that he was closer, he could see that the young woman didn't look exactly like he remembered, but the resemblance was there. He asked her,
"Will you please try on this slipper?"
Speechless, she turned to her mother. She nodded to her daughter to agree. Han pulled out the slipper. Even after spending the past few months in a saddlebag, it hadn't lost its luster. Han knelt down. Here it was, the moment of truth. The slipper didn't fit. Han frowned.
"I'm sorry to have wasted your time."
He got up. He turned to go and smacked into a girl dressed in dirty rags. The firewood she was carrying fell to the ground in a heap. The older woman flew into a rage.
"Ye Shen, you stupid girl! Why don't you watch where you're going?"
Han bowed in apology and started walking down the path, but then he stopped short. Could it be? He wondered. Surely not. And yet...
"Excuse me, young lady," he said to the girl as she picked up the firewood. "By any chance, were you at the New Year's festival?"
The older woman's eyes widened in shock.
"This dirty creature? Certainly not. You would have smelled her from a mile away."
Han glared at her.
"That's hardly the way to speak about someone."
He turned to the young woman and held out the golden slipper.
"Please, I have to know something. Will you try this on?"
The young woman looked up at him, panic in her eyes. Even under all the dirt, he knew it was her. He smiled at her and said,
"It's all right. You can put it on."
With trembling hands, she took the slipper. It was a perfect fit. Han cried out in joy and gathered Ye Shen into his arms.
"I've been looking for you for months."
He turned to the old woman and her daughter.
"And now I think I know why it's taken me so long."
Han turned back to Ye Shen.
"Will you leave this place and come away with me? I know we only shared one dance, but that's all the time I needed. Please, be my wife."
Ye Shen's face lit up in a wide grin.
"I'm so happy you found me."
Arm in arm, Ye Shen and Han walked down the path. She'd never see the tiny shack or its miserable occupants ever again. Li and Jun Li watched Ye Shen go as she walked to her happy ending. Li looked at Jun Li expectantly.
"Well, if she's not here to do the chores, that leaves you. Now go on, pick up that firewood."
Jun Li let out a snort of laughter, but then she realized Li was being serious. Jun Li retorted,
"Why don't you do it, old woman? It's not like you're doing anything useful around here anyway."
While the two women squabbled, they didn't hear a distant rumbling, the sounds of a rock slide coming from the mountain. When the boulders crashed down on them, they never had a chance to run. Their bones were crushed as they were buried in a random hail of stones, ending the lives of the two bitter women. For Ye Shen, all she heard as she rode away in King Han's magnificent carriage was a distant crash. She didn't even bother to look behind her. Why would she, when what lay ahead of her was so much better? And so ends the story of Ye Shen, the first Cinderella. Despite the centuries, not to mention continents, separating the story of Ye Shen from the European tales of Cinderella, it's remarkable how consistent the details are. Folklore scholars aren't quite sure how the story of Ye Shen ended up becoming a European fairy tale, but the two are most likely related. There are just too many shared elements for the European version to not have any influence from the Chinese Ye Shen. And those shared elements are what makes this story so remarkable. Despite originating over 1,000 years ago, the story is immediately recognizable. The evil stepmother, the magical guardian, a handsome prince, and a discarded shoe. The consistency of the Cinderella tale goes to show the power of a good story. As the saying goes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals, like Tales, for free, from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker. To stream Tales on Spotify, just open the app and type Tales in the search bar. Several of you have asked how to help us. Well, if you enjoy the show, the best way to help is to leave a 5-star review. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. Join me in 2 weeks for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales was created by Max Cutler. It is a production of Cutler Media and is part of the Parcast Network. It is produced by Max and Ron Cutler, with sound design by Kenny Hobbs. Production assistance by Ron Shapiro and Paul Mahler. Additional production assistance by Maggie Admire and Freddie Beckley. This episode of Tales was written by Alex Benedon. I'm Vanessa Richardson.